This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Whitney Pittman, Sierra Doctor, and Don Wick. Trade was an important topic during the first day of Farm Fest. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick is in Redwood Falls for the show and filed this report.
Chief Agricultural Trade Ambassador Doug McCallop painted a positive story about the Biden administration's trade policy. During the Farm Fest forum, McCallop was asked about potential trade agreements.
In terms of opening new markets up, our goal on the Indo-Pacific is to complete work there in November. That's a Herculean task to get an agreement of that size and scale in place in just literally, 1 year's time. I think it took the Trans-Pacific Partnership, several years of negotiation. But we can't afford to wait. We need to get these policies in place, because what happens right now is going to make the difference 6 months from now or next harvest season in terms of prices and willing buyers.
After a two-week strike, Canadian dock workers have tentatively agreed to a contract and will vote to ratify that deal by the end of this week. McCallop said that is being closely monitored.
It's going to be really important for us to keep commodities moving. We had enough issues with container shortages, with boats that were staying in one part of the world, not coming to pick up U.S. products. And so we will certainly be keeping our foot on the gas pedal to make sure that the supply chains and the shipping lanes remain moving.
The House Agriculture Committee will be on the Farm Fest stage today for a Farm Bill listening session. In addition to members of the Minnesota Congressional Delegation, Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson, and lawmakers from Ohio, Iowa, and Wisconsin will be taking that input. Our coverage from FarmFest made possible by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, Minnesota Farmers Union, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council. From FarmFest, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Ag Country Farm Credit Services Legislative and Public Affairs Officer Andy Martin says it's looking like the Farm Bill may be up against its end of September deadline and require an extension.
Not a real shock to those that were following real closely, just with the history of the Farm Bill, the dynamics of the House and the Senate, and the fact that the House flipped last November after the election. It really was kind of putting people a little bit behind the curve on getting things done, because committee assignments hadn't been made. The members had a little bit of a learning curve getting going, and there's some other issues too going on. The Congressional Budget Office hasn't been able to get numbers out as quickly as folks would have wanted, but we're seeing some progress there as well. So I think some work happening right after the August recess is very likely, and we hope to see some activity very soon.
In recent visits to Washington, D.C., Martin says they focused on two key priorities when talking with lawmakers.
We were talking about our number one priority, protecting crop insurance, and thinking about ways to perhaps enhance that so that there's less of a need for disaster assistance programs, ad hoc disaster assistance programs in the future. We also had a group of young farmer and ranchers with us, and we were talking a lot about ways to support them. And one of those ways would be to increase the FSA guaranteed and direct loan limits, so that they keep up with the pace of inflation and the real cost of agriculture these days.
The National Strip Tillage Conference kicking off today in the Bloomington, Normal, Illinois area. This report brought to you by Environmental Tillage Systems Soil Warrior. Environmental Tillage Systems Regional Sales Manager Dave Sunder says the popularity of strip till continues to grow.
The growers are definitely seeking more answers with strip till. The practice itself has become a lot more predominant, and a lot more information over the past few years has really started to become available. One of the common questions we get as a manufacturer is really what separates us versus a lot of our competitors. And I'd say the most noteworthy thing is the way we build the machines. Not only is there a lot of attention to detail, but the way the machines last.
And Sunder says company support is key to having a successful change to strip-till farming systems.
This is all we do, and we know it very well. So we bring that level of knowledge and service and support to help these growers while they're making that transition. And it's a complete system change. So it's not like just getting a different tractor. It's complete changing the whole system. So a lot of times these growers rely on a lot of support and knowledge from us, and we definitely bring that with everybody that is involved with ETS.
This is the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Well, as a sponsor, Ag Country Farm Credit Services has a prime location next to the Forum Building at Farm Fest. The grain markets have been anything but stable. Ag Country Vice President of Insurance and Commodity Marketing, Rob Frowning, says the volatility increases with the weather scares.
We are seeing that, and even just in a future forecast. We're thinking about rain in an area that really needs it, and also the market reacts to that. And so we've seen a lot of that. We are dry in a vast majority of our area. If you look at the most recent drought monitor, the Corn Belt is dry and hit and miss showers. There are spots that get showers, and they're going to have some pretty decent crops. There's others that are really stressing, and the market's trying to guess, you know, what are we going to have?
And the war in Ukraine has escalated, and that also has implications for U.S. agriculture.
What kind of long-term effect is that going to have on some of their inputs, such as our fertilizer that we get out of some of that area? And how are we going to get that to here? And logistics of that could also impact some of the input costs. And that's so far hasn't really been influenced too much. You know, we've seen them soften here a little bit, but I'm a little bit concerned on what could possibly happen there just with the escalation over there in Ukraine.
Well, at Farm Fest, Minnesota Corn Growers Association highlighting a 2022 Ford Escape hybrid electric vehicle. Renewable Fuels Association Vice President of Industry Relations Robert White says the vehicle was developed to showcase the utility of having an option to use electric or liquid fuels.
We wanted to prove a point. We think going full electric is not going to work, and we want to have a soft landing spot for the EV-only crowd. We also know there's a lot of people that say they'll never drive an EV. So we think this is the happy medium, and what we're seeing is drastic reduction in emissions, upwards of 70% for particulate matter NOx, the key human health ingredients that EPA and California Air Resources Board are looking at. And at the same time, we're barely seeing any fuel economy penalty that we're used to with higher blends of ethanol. We're seeing a really no penalty. We're having a fuel savings and a drastic reduction in emissions that in many cases are beating the electric vehicles on the roads today.
And while a vehicle like this can go a long way towards reaching emission goals, and it remains affordable.
Time is ticking to reach
the cost, the charging times, the convenience, range anxiety. But a lot of Americans don't have garages. Only 40% have garages. So where are these people going to charge? The public infrastructure, I can attest to after 6 months of driving one, is not there. It's very expensive in most cases, sometimes upwards of $5 to $6, $7 a gallon equivalent to using E85. And E85 selling for $2.50 a gallon or less across the country. So if your goal is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, even this lofty goal that the federal government has, we can still do it with liquid fuels. In fact, we can do it today. We don't have to wait.
Farm bill, a topic for South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson, Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
Time is ticking to reach the deadline for the next farm bill. South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson says there should be a rough draft completed by September.
I would say progress on the farm bill is going well in the House. I mean, we are probably a little bit behind where we want to be, but we are getting some good drafting work done. I think we're going to be able to put the finishing touches on a lot of that in August, and that means when Congress comes back in September, I think we're going to be able to have some drafts out there. I give people some time to look at those and probably have some committee action, hopefully passing the farm bill out of the committee by the end of September. That's going to put us well positioned to get this thing done yet this year.
Live cattle prices are on the rise. Johnson has emphasized the importance of transparency in the marketplace during these farm bill discussions and would like to see more robust livestock markets.
Yeah, there's a lot of price volatility. You know, of course, we're not ever going to get away from all of that. But when the prices are lousy, there's a lot of momentum behind the idea that we need to do something. So much of that momentum dissipates when prices recover, and I actually think that's a problem. I mean, low prices are not an excuse to overreact. good prices are not an excuse to underreact. We do want to address some of these market deficiencies. You know, I'd like to see more competition out there. I do think having the four largest processors control 80% of the market is not good.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Farmer sentiment rose for the month of July, according to the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture Director Dr. James Mintert says despite market volatility, farmers remain cautiously optimistic about current conditions and future expectations. The July barometer reading increased 2 points to 123.
The current condition index was the driver of the improvement we saw in the barometer this month. People became a little more optimistic there. That current condition index was up 5 points. That leaves that index up about 11% compared to July of 2022. People are feeling better about the current situation, and particularly as you make some comparisons to last year, they have a better view of what's likely to take place in the future, which is kind of interesting given the volatility that we've experienced. I mean, it's very difficult from my perspective to anticipate what's going to happen, but people are feeling a little stronger about the longer-term outlook.
Timing of the survey may have impacted the barometer reading. Mintert says crop conditions and interest rate expectations could be a factor.
I was a little surprised that we retained as much optimism as we did. I thought people might be a little bit more negative based on the declines that we saw. But the flip side of that was I think maybe some people felt better about crop conditions than they felt in June, and maybe that kind of counterbalanced it. And then the other thing, this month's survey was done before the Federal Reserve's latest increase in rates, but that notwithstanding, it was a fairly modest increase this month, I think, from the Fed. They pushed rates up by a quarter point. In our survey, I think roughly two-thirds, 65% of the people in the survey said they expect to see interest rates move higher over the course of the next year.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Well, let's check markets before we leave you this morning. We're seeing September wheat in Minneapolis unchanged at 854 and three quarters. December is up a quarter penny, 869 and three quarters. Chicago September wheat is 5 cents higher at 657. Kansas City September wheat, 4 1/4 higher, 808 and three quarters. September corn is a penny higher at 498. December corn's up 1 1/4 at 508 and a half. September soybeans, though, down 14 and three quarter cents at 1372. November soybeans down 17 and a quarter cents at 1324. August meal is down $4.10 a ton. The bean oil down 31 points. And in Winnipeg, November canola down 50 cents a metric ton, 778.60 Canadian. On the farm calendar, Farm Fest continuing through tomorrow at the Gilfillan Estates, southeast of Redwood Falls, Minnesota. Be listening for reports from that from Don Wick. Also, the National Strip Tillage Conference starts this morning, gets and runs out through Friday. That's in the Bloomington Normal, Illinois area. Get ready for the North Dakota Soybean Council's mid-season market outlook for soybeans. That is August the 8th. It's a webinar from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And it's a free webinar, but you need to register. And included in that are Dr. Bill Wilson, Dr. Frayne Olson from NDSU. Also, the Risk Management Agency, RMA, gathering feedback on possible changes to the preventive plant crop insurance coverage. They have a listening session scheduled for Fargo, and that'll be on Tuesday the 8th as well. This is the Red River Farm Network.